You're listening to the Mundy Maniacs podcast.
Okay, folks, we're back. It's episode number 68 of the Mundy Maniacs podcast. That's right, two episodes within a week. And you know what, guys? We're feeling pretty good today. Different tone, woo-hoo! Different spirit. We're all back. It's me, Kevin. It's Sarah. It's PJ. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hello.
Doing good.
Completely of a different spirit. We're on the way up.
We're on the way up. We're just having some good laughs before we hit that record button. Yes, some good Munzee laughs and laughs about other things. But here we are. And yeah, so it's another episode. We wanted to kind of, how shall we say, lighten things up. The last episode was a good one. And, you know, maybe a bit of a different tone than we're often used to on the Munzee Maniacs podcast. So my question is, how are you guys doing in this episode?
Well, since PJ talked a lot last time, let's start with Sarah.
Yeah.
I am doing good. Yeah, so it's a three-day weekend here in Japan. And this week I've been capping a lot. It's been fun. I've been trying to kind of figure out how and in what pattern I would be capping, you know, walking with the dogs and getting all of those daily physicals that I could cap. And even at this point, I've got three crates open. I'm working on my fourth one. I'm going to go probably be able to open my fourth one tonight. So wow. It's been fun. Like I said, the last episode, I said, I wondered, you know, when the novelty would wear off. And, you know, it is really easy if there's somebody standing there, oh, well, I'll get it tomorrow, right? Because it's going to be there tomorrow. So it's not a big deal. And I don't feel a lot of stress, which is kind of nice. And it's been fun. I've been kind of wanting to see how many crates I could open. But in the back of my mind, so Rob, this is for you. This isn't to see how many crates everybody averages over the month and then ramp it up for Clan Wars. Okay, don't do that, please. let's keep this civil. Okay, thank you. All right. PJ, touch, it's your turn.
Okay, well, I'm still not the happy camper I normally am known to be, but said
that's pretty funny, man.
Yeah, no, I'm giving the finger on it. It's not the index finger or the little finger. You figure it out, people.
He's flipping the bird, Kevin.
Anyway,
PJ,
I'm learning to live with it on one hand. I do hope someday there'll be a filter or some way to manage it a little bit better. But for the time being, like Sarah just said, I'm learning to cap the ones that I want to cap on the way and not feel my normal impulse to clear the map because tomorrow they'll be there anyway. So, like, just today, when I'm doing my circuit of six or so destinations, and I did it on foot today, then I just cap, you know, I'll cap the physicals along the way. And I've already got to my second queue rate, so I'm not where Sarah is. But I'm going to meet my obligations in terms of the clan, at least to level three or four, if not higher. So, you know, things are going okay. I'm learning to live with it. It's something that both of you said to me when we were off air in the previous days about, well, you still got two out of three of your loves in the game. And I'm trying to think on to see the glass half full kind of philosophy. It also was very helpful today that both Rob and Craig and several other people left messages, if not agreeing with me, at least empathizing with me, which was, I think, very appreciated, especially Rob. He was very upfront. Sorry, this is hurting you, but this is this is what we're doing, and for now anyway. Yeah. And I can understand that. I, like I said, I still don't like it, but I feel a little bit better that things have been done with a reason. I re-listened to the last week's podcast again, and he did explain it a little bit. And I just didn't hear it last time because I was, you know, couldn't hear anything. There was rage in my ears. But so I listened to it again today before I listened to the new podcast, which dropped yesterday. And again, they didn't address it as much as I would like still, but still, I felt a little bit better about the whole thing. And as we're about to talk about in a few minutes here, there have been so many other changes in the last few days. Anyway, it actually feels like I'm trying to put it all into perspective. For me, these other changes, though controversial for other people, are not controversial for me. So it really does show you that everyone does kind of play in their own way.
Yeah. Well, I think we agreed. The three of us were chatting about this yesterday in our WhatsApp group and stuff like this. And, you know, that the changes, we saw the water cooler got very heated in the last couple of days. And it wasn't about the thing that was upsetting you so much, PJ, but other things. And what we also, and I guess we'll talk about that again, like you had mentioned shortly. Those are things that really don't affect the three of us. So definitely are not bothering the three of us at all. Whereas in other people, it's really a big deal for them. But yeah, so just quickly, I'll give you my update. I'm doing the thing that I'm doing. I'm going to be opening, I think it looks like Q-rates 3 and 4 tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe even tonight if I go for a walk tonight after this podcast episode. So I haven't capped today, just the POI near my house, like from my apartment, and a Skyline from my apartment. So I haven't capped yet really today. So I just have like my roots like a T, basically like a T root. I walk in the shape of a T, and just like Sarah said, going out there and capping what I can. Most days it's most of them, but you know, if there's a car with someone sitting in it parked right in front of a pole where there's a Munzee or this or that, I don't care. Like I know it'll be there tomorrow, right? So I don't feel like a lot of pressure. And since I realize it's pretty easy to get Q rates right now, I'm just gonna see how many I can get.
Yeah,
so that's where I'm at. But yeah, so you know, also I just want to kind of say thank you to all those who are leaving some kind words. Rob left a very nice message on our Facebook page, as did some other fine people, left some really kind of positive messages, just kind of uplifting things. And that was nice to see. And I think Rob kind of made it, you know, share that, you know, he maybe apologizes that the journey isn't so clear at the moment, but he'll try in the next episode, maybe of the official Munzee podcast or moving forward, to add more clarity. And that's it was nice to hear him say that.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So let's talk about the there was an elephant in the room the other day, and then all of a sudden we saw there was more elephants in the room. You know, the things that I saw, Sarah was like, Kevin, have you seen the water cooler? And I have to admit, I don't check it as much as other people would. But I got on there, and as walking home, I was reading through it on my phone and saying, wow. There's a lot of passionate people here, and the two big things, of course, were the new Google Maps bundle thing, and then of course the only one an account can only be logged into one device at one time. That's it. So and as you know, like PJ had just said about himself, for me that doesn't affect me. Neither of those things affect me. I use an iPhone. I use Apple Maps. It works fine for me. I don't have any need, interest, desire to change. So I'm happy with what I have. I don't plan on paying any money to upgrade or that. Also, I don't, you know, no one else uses my phone to play. And I don't play my account on multiple phones. So that's like the only two people in my house who play are me and my son. And I have an iPhone with my account, and he has his iPhone with his account, and that's it. So, you know, neither here nor there. It doesn't bother me at all. How about you guys? What are your thoughts on this stuff?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I am part of the beta group, and actually what happened is my scanner died on me. So I think there's something messed up with the beta testing group. But
okay.
All I did was then just go back to the regular old all you peasants, all you peasant versions of the Munzee app. And
for listeners, if, I don't know if people knew that. Can you describe it a little bit more, what the beta group was or is?
Oh, yeah. Well, the beta group just tests out different functions that MHQ is working on before they push it out to everybody else. So we've been testing the Google Maps for several months now. Oh, I can't remember how long exactly, but and then every so often they would ask us about, you know, is a scanner working fine, or how's the blue dot, or and that sort of stuff, so they could continue to tweak it. So.
It's an interesting situation to be in. I've been a Google Maps beta tester for about 10 years now. And it's often interesting because I get features before other people. But I've had it in the past with Google Maps where like a new version comes out and it's just like every time I open it, just crash, 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 crash. And I'm like, oh crap, like it doesn't work at all. And then maybe I'm trying to travel somewhere or go somewhere with my map. I'm like, I'm effed right now. Like I literally can't use this. And I'm like just sending in the messages to them like, it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And then I have to wait for like the next update to come through. But that's kind of the
how really we are tied to our phones now. You know, something goes in the old days, we didn't even have a map. You know, but
I know.
Well, they're made of paper.
I wouldn't survive without one, you know?
Right, exactly.
You had the big old map book that everybody had in their car, and the person sitting in the passenger seat had to have it on their lap.
That's why you had a navigator, right?
As foreigners in Japan, you'd research everywhere you were going. You have to research to find out, okay, where's the train line and what time and what does it do?
Like write it down on a piece of paper, right? Yep. With all the times and notes and numbers of the train and...
So it's been liberating, but when something goes down, and it, like you guys said, I'm an iPhone user. I haven't had many problems. I mean, I still think the map is slow and laggy, but I actually think that's because both of these it started to get slow and laggy when the beta tester started testing an alternative map data source. So because it was right about that same time, so I wonder if sometimes the system has trouble with, you know, two different inputs. I don't know. But other than it being against a slightly slow and a little bit laggy, which I think it would be on either, my feeling is I have an iPhone. I haven't had a lot of the problems that some Android users have had.
Yeah.
So that though on a web, I actually use Google Maps as much, if not more, than Apple Maps. But on my within my phone, it's the opposite. So I'm an Apple Map user, and neither one, as we've pointed out, neither one truly is the service, you know, because I see a lot of people on the water cooler saying, I don't like Apple Maps or I don't want Google Maps. And I want to tell them both, neither one, this is Munzee Maps.
It's like Mac versus PC, right?
Yeah. So it's just chill a little bit. I think things will get worked out. I do agree with some people about packaging maybe these ideas in a more expensive premium. I know people have floated that on the water cooler, but I just think that at least initially having it month to month is probably a good idea, because then they can see whether there's a need for it or how well it works or doesn't. But I'm happy with the Apple Maps, and I, as a single player who's single in life, so sad. I don't have the issue that some, and I think some people do have a legitimate issue.
Yeah.
I think some people are just playing fast and loose with the rules. But there are some people that have legitimate issues, and I feel for them. But I also want to say that unlike maybe the greenie change, we've been talking about this coming for 5 years now. They've been getting tighter and tighter.
Oh yeah, yeah. The whole thing about the multiple logins and stuff. That's been a long time. I mean, there's people out there who bend the rules. There's people out there who aren't playing the way we're expected to play. Like you say, they're playing loose and fast. And I mean, that's where, remember at first, you know, they got rid of that, how you could have like the multiple. I remember when I first started playing, you know, I could have like, there was a slot straight up at the top where you could have like your account. I could have like my son's account, my daughter's account. And then they got, and they got rid of those. And then you could, they got rid of logging in with your username. Now you have to put an email address, you know, things that just make it more cumbersome to kind of, you know, for those who maybe, again, I think that the aim was for those who aren't playing by the rules to make it a bit more challenging for them. But again, you know, there are people who have legitimate grievances, and for them, yeah, that's too bad, I guess. And I mean, I don't mean that in a flippant way. I mean, it's unfortunate for them.
Yeah.
But again, like you said, this has been a long time in coming.
I know that some people have said. Some people have said to me about, I guess, way back in the very beginning, there were a lot of husband and wife teams, and they've just always played off of one account. But I saw a really interesting comment on the water cooler. You know, yeah, so maybe the best thing to do is if you're a husband and wife team, just get two accounts. I mean, what's, you guys are going to help each other more.
Because you can like deploy, if you deploy in a place.
And having two active people in your neighborhood versus just having one active account.
So
I can't really see. You know, I understand that they've always been one team, but hey, do rock, scissors, paper, do the Japanese way. Rock, scissors, paper. If you lose, you start the new account. I don't know, but
also you could name it as an homage to the original account. So anyone who saw it would know you're a derivative. So if your account was Blue Bob 7, now you're Blue Bob 7B or whatever. You're still connected to that original account, and everybody in the, I mean, it is a social game and people know who's married and who's not. So it wouldn't be as if someone would say, who's this new player? Yeah. Well, we know who it is. And I do feel, as someone who just suffered last week from the greenie issue, I do understand that when you have a certain image of the way the game is played and it can't be played anymore, it is a bit heartbreaking. So those that have been legitimately playing, the few that are in this case, I do feel for them. But that said, like we've said here, I knew this was coming. We've been talking about this for several years, and increasingly strict rules about single play. You know, Rob did mention, I think, was it today's podcast or was it last week's? I think it was last week. Where, you know, if you play on a Google, well, not Google, what is it?
Pokemon Go.
A lot of these games only allow a single account per phone. You can't, not even, you can use it on another phone. Line, which is a texting service here in Japan, one way they reduced, fakes and people trying to sell you stuff and
scammers and things,
Is linking every Line account to a single phone, and you can't have two phones. You can have an online computer-based version that links every single time. It has to be reconnected. It's a huge pain in the ass. Kevin knows this himself because he got kicked out because he couldn't have a Japanese number anymore.
Back in the day,
But the positive side of this is it does kind of put everybody on the same level playing field. And I think if you bring this to the game, although there will be birthing issues, in the end, the game will be better for it. It's just going to take a while. And like people who, like you said, there were so many teams, you know, in the 2000 mid-teens.
Yeah.
Team play.
Yeah.
And they're just going to accept that that's not. I understand it. I understand that some people feel hurt, but like some people are saying, you know, a couple of things on water coolers I thought went too far about, we can't play together because, you know, I need my device clipped to my bike and I have to be able to then get off and walk. And I'm going, I don't know. I because of the food delivery service, there are so many fast clip on, clip off, devices that will hold phones. You hit a button, pops right into your hand. You get off the bike, you cap, you get back on,
pop it right back in, off you go.
So I thought there was a little sometimes in the wine in the wine cooler,
the wine cooler. That's w-h-i-n-e.
Sometimes I think and that's one of the reasons why I vented to you guys and then on the podcast. But I didn't want to vent on the water cooler because I think they're already getting a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and much of it is justified. I think people do need a place to vent. So you know, more power to people.
I'm still loving the wine cooler.
Well, that's what I think of it as the winer cooler.
Years ago, I worked. So I'm a primary school teacher, guys, and I don't think you can get away with this now in the current climate of just everything in life. But I worked with a teacher who he taught like grade two, I think, and he had a big sign above his door, had a wine glass, and it said "No whining allowed," and it was like WHIN. I don't think I could get away with putting a sign like that in my class now. But yeah.
Do they still make wine coolers anymore? I guess they do.
I'm sure they do. I mean, probably.
Here in Japan.
Bartles and James.
Zima.
Yeah.
Zima.
Yeah. By Zima, that's right.
Zima. How do we buy it? They bought it. They bought the license in production, and they I believe they produce it here. Oh.
Yeah, they do.
Sorry, guys. I apologize. Yeah. That's my have you Duolingo today alarm. I have a Munzee alarm, a Duolingo alarm, all these. Have you taken your vitamins today alarm? have I combed my beautiful hair? You know, things like that. You know, I have a lot of things.
Exactly. And you have, I can tell. And it looks wonderful.
Thank you.
Flowing locks. Blowing in the wind.
You did a really nice job of it. So sparkly.
Yeah.
Almost translucent.
Like a unicorn, yes. So there we go. There's a lot of interesting things happening. I have not listened to this week's episode, official Munzee podcast episode yet. I was planning on going for a little walk this evening, and while I capped, I was going to listen to it. I went for a few walks today. I went for a walk this morning with my son while he capped, so I didn't obviously listen to a podcast while I was with him. And then the second walk today was with my wife. Again, I'm not listening to a podcast while I'm walking with her.
Secrets to a happy marriage. There
exactly.
You go.
Yeah. Take the earbuds out when you're with your partner. The earbuds don't go in. Yeah.
Have you guys seen this? You know, we had a new, new all-time leaderboard challenge, our leader, you know, Whelan.
Mm-hmm.
And the old, she's not old. I'm sorry.
The OG.
The previous number one, the queen. She took a big run today, and she is she's back on number one, but she was up by about 100,000 points about 2 hours ago, and Whelan, he is now less than 1,000 points behind her right now. Those two are going to start going neck and neck. This will be kind of fun to watch from a very far distance.
Very far. way down on the mountain, we can look up and see giants battling atop.
Yeah, right? Exactly. The giants battling on top of the mountain. Exactly. Me and my reaching towards 8 million points.
Yes, you also have to watch number 3 and number 4 because, you know, Jack Sparrow is coming up and Munzee Prof, he's always... you know, number 2 every single week, but in terms of points, you know, on the weekends, but they're coming up. But this will be interesting. This is interesting.
Cool.
So, sorry.
What's up, PJ? What do you want to share?
I wanted to go back to our tradition of talking about a nice Munzee moment that we had in the last few days or week or whatever. And I'll start because I was so negative last time. Well, not negative, but so emotional. There we go. So I had a positive moment the other day, and I was on my bicycle, biking around my neighborhood to get my destination. And at that point, I was still ignoring my the greenies in principle. I given that up. That didn't last. But in any case, I was biking to a park just about 3 or 4 minutes from my home, not very far. And there is a treehouse that I put. It's low on the support pole to a baseball fence.
Oh, yeah, I know that one. Yep.
Yeah, you do. I've
capped that one.
Next to the private girls' high school.
That doesn't sound good, though, to say that we have one beside a private girls' high school.
It's outside of the property. it's between the two the two walls. Yeah, and
it's in a big public park.
Little bike path. And anyway, so I bike. It was cold, and I bike there, and I stop. Take off my gloves. At that time, I was still wearing a glove. And I grab my phone and I don't even get off the bike. I just bend over to scan because it's about ankle height. And this pigeon flies in. Now, Batman Kai, who is a regular contributor to the show, is a friend of the pigeon.
Yes, he is.
Despite being called Batman Kai, because I don't think bats and pigeons get along, but nonetheless.
Well, he believes they should coexist.
Yeah, he does.
He believes in pigeon coexistence.
This pigeon flew and landed on that little basket on the front of my bike. For those of you who don't know, the Japanese bikes often, we call them mama charis, literally mommy bikes. They're just a regular bike with a little that people use to get around and do shopping and run errands. So there's a little wire basket in the front.
Yeah.
That I can put groceries or whatever. Anyway, so he lands on that. So I could have literally reached my hand out and picked him up. He was less than an arm's length from me because, you know, I'm sitting on the bike, bending over, scanning this thing in, and he lands. And you know how the pigeons are you know, they do with their head, they're heads bobbing.
Their heads move a lot. Their heads are busy. Yeah.
Well, he's looking at me. And then looking down on the ground, I think he thinks I've either dropped food or I'm picking up food. But I've never seen a pigeon, although they're not afraid of people. You know, these are urban creatures. But he's landing there right on my bike, and he won't move. And so I scan it in, and I come back up, and as I come back up, our faces maybe 3 or 4 inches from each other, except my head is not moving. But he's moving, but he's not afraid or anything. And he's looking at me and then looking down on the ground and looking at me. And this goes on. And I don't know what to do because I'm going, well, this is a wonderful moment. I don't want to shoo him away. Mm-hmm. But he stands there for 2 or 3 minutes and I'm waiting for him to fly away because, you know, I've scanned the Munzee. It's time to move on to the next, you know, the next one's about 5 minutes bike ride away. I got to go. But he's just standing there with his bobbing head. And then I just say, you know, and I kind of with a motion with my hands, I go, go away, go away. And he flies up, flies back down, lands where the Munzee is. And he's looking for food and he's pecking on the grass that grows up to the pole. And he can find no food. But he's pecking furiously because it's got to be there somewhere. And I don't even move because I'm inches, my pedal's inches away from him. So I'm just waiting for him to finish. And then, seemingly upset, he starts poking the pole where the Munzee is attached, like one of those, what do you call it, woodpeckers?
Yeah.
He's pecking. And then he flies back up and lands back on my basket. And he looks, as much as a pigeon may look, he looks perturbed.
Wow.
And I turned to him and I just said in this voice, I said, sorry, no food. And then he flew away. And then I continued on my way. But it's because of Munzee, I had I'm an urban, I'm a city kid. I don't, a kid, who am I kidding? I'm a city man. So I don't have a lot of interaction with nature. Not the way Kevin does and monkeys on the street and such. This was my animal moment. And it was just so funny because the pigeons are everywhere in Osaka, but I've never seen one get that close. I mean, he was inches away. Mm. And then he flew away and I continued on and got my Munzees. Anyway, that's my Munzee story, guys. Do you have one?
That's cute. I like it. I'll tell everybody about my dogs though. Now we'll continue on the animal.
mine is animal themed too. So
is it really? Okay, cool.
It just happened today.
So since all the greenies appeared and I've got two dogs there. Their mom is a border collie. So they're both quite clever. And until now, they knew when we were getting close to the tree houses and they would slow down and they knew which side of the street to kind of shift over to. But literally within like 3 days, they knew where all of the Munzees were that I was going to stop and make them and scan. So just within the last 3 days, they've already figured out where they need to stop. And so I can scan. And I'm so proud of how smart my boys are.
No, I was going to ask you that when you mentioned earlier, you do your Munsey rounds with your dogs. I was wondering, is it a hassle? Are you having to rein them in as you bend over and scan something in or reach up and... They're cooperating. They've gotten used
to this.
They're
so cooperative because all I have to tell them, even if there's a car coming, I stop. I tell them to stop, or I'll even just say car, and then they stop and scoot over. They're so smart. I mean, they're so much smarter than my actual human boys. No, I'm joking. But
I hope they're not listening tonight.
Not listening.
Maybe they're not smarter, but at least they actually listen to what I tell them to do.
Obedience and intelligence are separate things, but thank your children. My gosh. Yeah.
So anyways, I'm just really happy that my dogs are cooperating with my new Munsey pattern. And so it's really made it a lot more smooth to be able to take walks with them and doing Munsies at the same time. But the biggest thing is kind of fun is that a lot of the ones that are in my neighborhood are from both of you. And so it's just kind of a nice reminder of the times that you had been here and left these, these greenies around for me. And so it's just kind of a nice reminder almost every single day. So aww. I really appreciate it. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, my story is also dog related. So there's a lot of wildlife here. We do live in the, in a kind of an area of the island that was carved out of the jungle. So, the place where our apartment complexes are, where our school is located and stuff, 10, 15 years ago, it was all jungle, right? So there's a lot of animals that have their natural, feeding grounds, roaming grounds where they live, generations and generations are here, right? So for a lot of the animals, it's in their DNA. This is where they feed. This is where they are. But all of a sudden now there's urbanization, there's buildings here, there's apartments, there's complexes. So they still come here because this is where they've always fed, right? But one interesting thing is that there are a lot of packs of wild dogs that live in the island of Penang. And we do have several in the area. And there's one pack of wild dogs that do live in between my school, my international school I work, and the apartment building where I work. And we walk past them every day. And normally when you think of this, like a pack of wild dogs, it sounds like something really frightening you need to worry about. But here they're not at all. We learned that pretty quickly. The dogs here are, there's nothing to fear from these dogs. Like they're quite sad and it kind of breaks your heart whenever you see them. They just kind of lay around all day on the roads and sidewalks and they're pretty thin and bony. And they basically rely on the kindness of animal rescuers and stuff to come and feed them and people to feed them. And a lot of people do leave food out for them and stuff. And, we all have kind of nicknames for them and stuff. And there's one dog we particularly love. We call him Sad Dog. And Sad Dog, he's I think, like part German Shepherd. He's got like one ear that's flopped down and just a beautiful looking dog. I'd love to – I would say like if I could rescue a dog, that would be the one. And I've talked to some rescuers who I see in the area, and they've tried over the years – several times to get him and it just hasn't worked out. So, we do live in a tropical area. So it's always hot. Every day it's hot. It's like 40 degrees Celsius every day, right? So these dogs are always looking for cool places to lay in the day and sleep. So on a weekday when there's school, there's a lot of cars parked in the neighborhood. So the dogs often will sleep under the cars, under parked cars to get some shade. But what we've learned is that when there's no cars around on the weekends, they'll actually go into the drains. There's a lot of big drains, like storm drains that are open. So the dogs will climb into those drains and just, I guess, hang out. And we haven't had rain in a really long time too. So I suppose it's safe for them. So today I'm out getting those new greenies that are popping up. And I'm in between my school and my house where we have this kind of route. I guess I've got about 7 greenies and 2 tree houses in between my house and my school. And I went over to one light pole, the lamppost to cap the greenie. And that dog, that German Shepherd, jumped out of the drain right beside me because I guess I startled him and, scared the living crap out of me. And I was just like, ah! I was like, hey, Sad Dog, what are you doing? And he looked at me and he got kind of scared and he kind of like backed away. I'm like, no, I'm not going to hurt you. But yeah, just, I didn't expect a dog to jump out of the drain beside the pole where I was capping. And you know, like I said, he's, I think like part German Shepherd. So he's a fairly large dog, you know, he's not a small one. Yeah. So that was my animal story, my Munzee capping story, but the only interesting thing so that this week that's happened. But yeah, so there we go. All animal related, animal theme, guys. Nice.
There you go.
Yeah.
Unplanned.
And that wasn't coordinated at all. We had no
idea. Absolutely not.
No, absolutely not. Well, it was great to have this talk, guys, this conversation. Again, I want to thank all of the listeners out there who may have been concerned. Share that. We are okay. PJ is on the mend, and it's going to be interesting to see where things go with all the other things that are going on in the Munzee world.
Yeah, and I have a feeling this is going to be several months of change. So we're just going to have to batten down your hatches and give it time.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Anything else you guys want to add, or shall we wrap this up?
I'm good.
Let's wrap it up.
You okay, guys.
Get back to grading.
Yeah. Everyone out there, thank you for listening. We appreciate it if you take the time to rate this podcast wherever you listen to it. PJ is showing us a big stack of grading. I'm glad I'm a primary school teacher. You know, if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, Amazon Music, please leave a rating and a review. Come on over and join the Munzee Maniacs Facebook group. And of course, tell any Munzee players you know about the podcast. And that's it for us. See you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.